Good morning, everyone. Well, I wanted to say some things on this day at the beginning of the church year about discrimination, since that's our intent, and about what it is to be a Christian, and finally, what it is to be in this church. You see, in a way, we're all in different churches. You're in yours, the vicar is in his, the bishops are in theirs, I am in mine. And everyone believes that they know best about what the church is or should be. Some people even say they're in the Church of Jesus Christ and then proceed to tell everyone what they think Jesus Christ thinks about this and that. Fortunately, none of us are quite like that, but we still have this tendency to believe we're somehow specially in the know about things. And we get very fixed ideas about things, not because we have ideas, but because the ideas have us. So since today is about discrimination, I thought I might talk a bit about how we can discriminate where we really want to be heading in our Christian life. I'll start with some basic stuff. Firstly, something about what it is to be a Christian, to be a child of the promise. Why do I call it that? Because we were made a promise of everlasting life. An end of death. That's really the main thing a Christian is, a believer in the promise of life everlasting. We should remember that Christianity was originally a set of esoteric practices and writings designed to take people from ordinary life to a taste of what was beyond death. And that was the point of everything in the original Christianity. Unfortunately, in my view, this mystery cult got hijacked by a bunch of people who wanted to use it for other purposes and who had no direct experience of the life everlasting. So they pushed a bunch of other stuff into the religion, which had a place but diluted the original intent. Now, our little church was an attempt by some people to reinitiate that original mystery school pulse of Christianity, using theosophy as a bridge to understand the old writings and traditions. And they didn't do that bad a job in some ways, although they didn't have access to many of the writings and translations we now have. They didn't have Alvord Boyd-Kuhn's translations or even complete access to G.R.S. Mead's writings, let alone access to the Mandean traditions or the Nag Hammadi library. They did their best, and they did the best they could with what they had, and they spent a lot of effort getting the Eucharistic service to operate correctly without holes in it. So our church has always had a very sacramental, very esoteric bent. We are highly concerned with getting the sacramental workings perfect. Now, in my view, this has led people sometimes putting rules, which frankly somebody just made up, over and above the quality of the experience of the Holy Eucharist or any of our other sacraments. And to my mind, this is a mistake, but it is only natural to rely on made-up rules when you have not unfolded the experiential part of yourself to any great degree. And this brings me to discrimination, because discrimination is precisely the unfoldment of the experiential self in order to develop a correct view and subsequently correct behaviours perfectly aligned with the situation at hand. Now, Paul in the epistle is attempting to show how to discriminate as he contrasts polarities. It is also what I have just been doing in my little story about our church. If we want our little church to thrive, we must learn how to discriminate. That is not the same thing as following rules. When you follow rules, discrimination is unnecessary. Discrimination is experiential and has to do with separating certain things and combining other things. To discriminate has to do with being able to tell the difference between things. Now, I want to ask you a question so that you can begin to understand what I mean by experiential. And the question is, how do you understand what I'm saying? Moreover, how did you understand language when you first learned it? This is really a great mystery, that we can make meaning from these auditory passings. Yet somehow we can. If I begin to talk to you about everlasting life, you have an idea of what I mean. Now your idea might be very different from what I mean, but you will have some image, some feeling, some associated experience with which to understand the words everlasting life. And this is where all the problems begin, because in the early days of Christianity, there were some people who really had tasted everlasting life and others who had not. And they were both trying to tell other interested parties what it was and what was meant by the person of Christ Jesus. Everyone wants to be special. Everyone wants to be the boss or the boss's kid, or at least the boss's kid's friend. So people made up stuff so they could get other people to believe they really were friends with the boss's son. The fact is that this wish to be special is all based on a fundamental misunderstanding, which is the result of not unfolding the experiential self enough. What is this fundamental misunderstanding? That you are not special. Because if you are special already, you don't have to want to be special, because you already are. You don't need to prove that you're special, because you already are. You don't need to lord it over others, because you already know what you're doing. And even though I know very well that while the overwhelming majority of people do not have the experience of being special, the fact is, they are. We are all children of the boss. We don't need to be friends with the boss's son. We are the boss's sons and daughters. That's us. So when we say it's Advent, when we say Jesus is coming, that's what Advent means. We're saying that Jesus is coming into our hearts. We are becoming aware of being children of the boss who gave us the promise of life everlasting. Not because you get baptized, you're saved, but because we are alive. The living is alive and life never dies. We are living because we come from life. Even if the system of the physical body perishes, the life that brought us, that brought those systems to fruition, remains alive. Consciousness can never die because it is alive. And life is life. Dead things remain dead. The dead can never be alive. Actually, nothing in the universe is dead. Death is only an illusion of changing forms. Every mineral, spaced, even mineral space dust, is alive in its own way. So we are alive and our consciousness cannot die. And we can learn to experience that by unfolding the experiential self more and more and more. Is Jesus coming on a cloud or on a white charger? If you let him, he's going to come into your heart. Jesus isn't a guy on the white charger, but the unfoldment of consciousness itself. So the question is, how do you allow him in? And the answer is discrimination. Learn how to keep the things which go together together and keep apart the things which are best apart. How do you do that? How do you tell what is best? Well, it's a very deep question. And it goes on and on and on. But we can start by learning how to listen. How to listen in different ways, both to ourselves and to others. And how can one listen? What if all one hears is one's own pride? Isn't that a danger? You know, I hear these New Agey people say that they have to listen to what's right for them. What's right for me, my truth, my way. And that's all pride talking. That's all about separateness and avoidance of being dominated. And that's okay, but it's not discrimination. Discrimination is a kind of listening that opens new dimensions of experience. The kind of listening you did when you first learned language. Focused on learning, focused with curiosity and humor. So what is this kind of listening? It's a listening which softens. It softens the listener and softens the one being listened to. Then that listening lets his coming presence in. So if you want to enter the kingdom, you've got to become soft, like little children are soft. Soft in the sense of supple, in the sense of opened, in the sense of releasing. When we begin to soften our listening, we begin to unfold the experiential dimension of life and we begin to develop the distinction of discrimination. Obviously, there are a lot more to it than that, but it's a reasonable place to begin. And what better place to begin to soften our hearts and minds for listening than right here in church today?